My name is Amy Wink, and I am 53 years old, and we are recording this interview at the Downtowner Sunday School class at First United Methodist Church in Austin, Texas, on December 8th.
9th.
See, I made the first mistake, so that's great. 2018.
I'm Caroline Jones. I am 54 years old. I am not a member of the Downtowners class. I am a facilitator here. It's just, okay.
You're going to give it to me first?
Yeah.
Oh, I am.
Here, I'll do it.
Okay. All right. I'm Patricia Rosenblad. I'm a young whippersnapper of 88. I look old, but I don't look as old as I am. And I have been a member of Downtowners class since about 2000, maybe 2001. And I have loved being a part of it. Now, what else am I supposed
to say? That's good. We'll move on.
Okay.
Sue Hatch, 72.
Sally Watkins, 78 next month.
Penny Appleby, 81.
When did you join us? Raymond Lewis, 84.
We'll come back to you.
Malcolm Flournoy, 73. Do you want any more?
When did you join Downtowners?
In 1982, but I started at First Methodist Church less than 1 year of age as an infant. And joined it 12 years.
I joined first, and we joined in 82.
Maybe we joined in 83. Karen Flournoy, 73. Is in it. We think we may have joined in 83 instead of 82.
It is 82.
Okay, she has.
My name is Tom Osley. I will be 76 on Tuesday. I joined First Methodist in 1966 with Miss Robbie, and we joined this class in 1968.
Tom Watkins, I'm 78 years old. Joined this church in 1962 and started with a bunch of other people this class in, I got no idea. It would have been.
Osley says it's 68.
Yeah, it would have been a couple of years before you.
Or a year.
A year.
67.
Yeah, so we're not only old, but we're stayed.
I'm Dixie Fallop. I moved here in 1980 and hurried down here to join the church.
You didn't say how old.
Oh, I'm 80. Six more months, I'll be 81.
Kathleen Jones. I came to First Church and joined it in 1955 as Director of Youth Ministries. I'm 85 now. I worked on staff all that time, most of that time, and joined Downtowners when I retired at the age of 80.
Karen Smith, I'm 54. I joined the church in September of this year and am visiting this class today.
George Smith, I'm 53. I married an older woman. I'm also visiting this class and joined with Karen about 3 months ago.
Oh. I'm Bill Derryberry, and I'm 72, and I joined the church in 78, and I don't know, when did I join this class? Last year?
Longer than that. Oh, I think it's been a couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, okay, 2016. The first Sunday school class I've been in since I was 16.
I'm Kay Sterling. I'm 76. I joined the class in 1968 after a friend of mine called and said, "Kay, we finally found us all a Sunday school class down at First Methodist. Bake this cake, show up Thursday night at a party, and then you can go to Sunday school on Sunday.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Pam Tackett, and I'm 73 years old. My husband just told me I am.
Don't believe. Well, then make it 52.
He keeps track of that.
Yeah, thing. That's an idea. I came up in this class. I was in 1983, and I already said that word.
Thank you.
Marie Richards, I'm 73. I attended here when I was a student at UT. And I think I joined late 60s, early 70s, and about 4 or 5 years after that, I joined Downtowners.
I'm Steve Tackett. I'm 74. Pam and I joined the church in 83, and soon were pushed into or gravitated to this class. I have come in and out. I had left for about 8 or 9 years to teach 4 and 5 year olds. And then left to teach an adult Bible class for about 10 years. But Pam has always stayed, and this has always been my faith home.
So you're teaching 4 or 5 year olds, we'll prepare you
for that. Prepare you for the downtowner.
My name is...
We want to hear all the stories.
My name is Robbie Osley. I'm 74, and I joined in 1967. Or 8, I don't know.
Close.
You want a visitor?
Yes.
My name is Lori Huang, and I'm 58 years old. I've been a member of the church for about a year, and I'm a visitor in this class.
I'm Virginia McCarroll. I'm 76. My husband and I joined in the fall of 82, and we immediately came to this class because I already had friends in it.
Virginia had a birthday, and we said to Tom, how old is she? And he said, she's turning 58, which meant she's 85.
Yeah.
I like those odds. My name is Carol Brady, and I am 80. I'll be 82 New Year's Day. And my husband and I joined in 1975. In the fall of 75, we were transferred to Bergstrom. And except for the 3 years I went to Mexico, I've been here ever since.
Jim Surratt, I'm 75. We lived primarily in Florida until fairly recently, and we've been part-time members, for the last 10 years, I guess, and thinking about becoming full-time.
Amen. I'm Liz Surratt, and I'm 74, and... Also, with Jim, we've been visitors for about a decade, and now we're full-time. Thank you.
Very good. All right, so our next question is, how did this class form, and who would like to try to answer that question? Raise your hand, and I will hand the recording over.
Give it to Sally. She remembers everything I ever did.
Just don't press it.
You don't say that in a good way.
As I remember it, this class formed in the 1960s, probably 68. Beverly Medford was director of education. And apparently they teach you in director of education school that you should start a new class every few years. And Beverly decided it was time to start one. And she called on Tom and me, Mike, and I can't think of her last name, McAnally.
Carol
McAnally. Nancy and Raymond Lewis. Who am I not thinking of that were originals? And then pretty soon, the class started growing.
So what has been kind of the main purpose of Downtowner?
Well, I think it has evolved for people to say it would be support of each other. We were much more active when we were younger in doing actual hands-on things, be that parties for people from the state hospital to building on habitat houses to whatever. But it has evolved after all these years to be particularly supportive of each other and of this church. I think one of the things we are proud of is no matter who the pastor has been here, we've been here. And we've been supportive of whoever the pastors are, which I think is one of the things you learn in Methodism school, that it is the church that you belong to and support, regardless of who's in leadership. But we've been lucky in the leadership.
I have a thank you story I want to tell. In June of 1971, Robbie and I had unexpectedly number three and number four babies. We had been in the class for maybe a year or two. But at that time, I was a young lawyer and barely making any money at all. This class passed the hat, I don't know how many times when we weren't here. I still remember how much it was. It was $50. And they bought a used twin stroller for us and gave it to us. And I think I cried then, and I'm about to cry now, but it was something that we could not afford, and it was a gift from these people. And after that, there was never any question we would never be anyplace else. But
to his eternal shame, I was with him when the babies were born, and they didn't know it. Is that right, Robbie? Didn't know it till then, till the babies came. There were going to be twins. Went over, took him out to lunch right after the babies were born. He didn't say a word. He just sat there. First words out of his mouth, to his eternal shame, was, "She's going to be hell to talk into the next one."
He's a liar. He's making that up.
Oh, okay. This is Penny again. I came to this church the first time in 1969 and came to this class. And I will have to be honest, the things I remember about this class are Progressive Suppers, Brandy Alexander's. And there were some people here then, and we were all approximately the same age. I left here in 1974. I came back to Austin in 1997, and I came back to this class. I had been back to the church for a while. I hadn't really come back to Sunday school until Sally one day says, "Why don't you come back to the class?" And so I did. Well, I thought it was very interesting that I came back and it was all the same people. And you normally think of Sunday school classes going by age. Well, this class had just aged wonderfully well altogether. They never moved on up to the classes for the older folks. Although we did have, obviously by my age, there are some that are quite a bit younger, but we have had, since I came back here, we had a young man that stayed with us for quite a while, and we tried to push him out, and he wouldn't go because he liked us better than he liked some of the other classes, which made us feel very good. But I would just have to say, for what the church meant to me back then, was it gave me a place to come in a city, in a downtown church, as a single person. Neighborhood churches don't do well for single people. And so finding a downtown church at that time, and the same thing, it gave me a church home for again, because for most of the 20 years that I was gone, I didn't really go to church. I went to a few, but there were times when I didn't go because I couldn't find one that really. I went to Presbyterian church for a while. I went to churches in California, and I went to churches in Connecticut, and I would go to the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City on Easter Sunday when I was an Easter Christian. and all. But coming back here was for two things: the at-home feeling in this class, and the music at the church. Because in both times, music has been very important to me.
The opposite of community, which this is clique. And we have tons of inside jokes and things that make it very, very difficult for people to break into this group for a long time. And three couples bullied their way into this class. The Carnes, Ruth and Arnold, and Grant and Elizabeth
LaPierre.
The level of knowledge in those three couples is unbelievable. Yeah. And we learned so much from them and found out that it's kind of fun to have new people. And I think we've been more open as a class to letting people come in ever since they bullied their way into our midst.
Trouble putting the word bully to Grace
LaPierre. I just wanted to say... I just wanted to add that when I came here in 1980, shortly after, I was divorced. And so I got the class out of the divorce. He moved on. I was fortunate enough then, through all this trauma, that I was offered a job here at the church. And I will say this class and the church at whole saved my life. I lasted for 18 years.
This is Raymond Lewis again. I came to this church initially in 1957. I came on a weekly basis when I was in the Army, and I would come down here to visit with Nancy's family. And in 1958, as a matter of fact, on the 27th of this month, we would have been married 60 years. And Nancy and I worked in the children's, teaching children's classes in the early 80s, I mean, 70s. And Nancy has done more than anybody, I think, besides Steve over there in teaching people in the various classes. But I will give you a little bit more later.
All right, so here's the big question. What is some of the most important work that you think that the class has done, but also the work of FIRST in your time here?
Yes, my own perspective about the downtowners is that it's a great community of faith, and I think it's one of the most representative of the best at First Church. I have enjoyed in service. It's just unbelievable the amount of activities this group of people are involved in leadership. I think we've had multiple members, directors of the board, administrative chair, finance committee, endowment fund people all in this room. Witness, this class is one of the most vocal for RMN, for women's issues, for justice issues. We've got truck teams and mobile loaves and fishes teams here in our 70s and 80s going out at night in the cold. Helping the poor. As far as this group has been in the best and the worst times of First Church. We've been at its high point and we've been at its low points. I remember standing, like many of you, over in that old Eddie Furniture building's about to collapse around their head while we're looking about trying to raise $2 million and outbid other people to buy a junk building, of which we could not have sustained this church without it. So, and we've been through good times and bad times with pastors, but this class has always had cohesion and a good sense of grace, and so it's a blessing to be a part of it.
Kathleen. Well, I'm trying to get Robbie to talk.
Did Robbie hit her?
No.
Oh. When I came back to First Church in 1970 as director of Christian education it was clear that the downtowners were the go-to class. When you needed anything from cookies to real people showing up to do jobs, we went to downtowners. And this may have been what Raymond was alluding to earlier, but one of the things that I remember so well was that downtowners initiated taking older preschool children out of the nursery during the worship services and providing real activities for them. For a time, there were even some bilingual teachers. And the downtowners volunteered at those extra sessions, they called them, for several years. And that was a huge thing. Because in those days, as one of the class members, Nancy, used to say, oh, well, we stayed at First Church because there was always childcare. And it was the period and when instead of being super particular, parents just kind of threw their children into the nursery and got away as quick as they could. So downtowners did a really great thing in maintaining those special sessions for a long time. And I'm glad that Tom mentioned about cliques, because I agonized over that in this class. They loved each other so much and had so much in common that it was like a private club. And I agree, Tom, it was those couples coming in and you began to open up and make it easier for new people to get into the class. And one more thing. Oh, dear.
All right, well, I can say when I joined, and it was Sally Watkins who invited me when I met her as I was ushering and told her about why I was here. And the funny thing was the first day I came down to class, I didn't understand the building, which is still very confusing. And I ran into Trevor in the hallway, and I said, well, I've been invited to Downtowners. And his face dropped, and he said, oh, my God. That's like being invited to see the king. And I laughed, and I got really a little bit nervous. So, like, you guys are legendary, and when the name comes up, everybody's like, oh, Downtowners. So.
Yeah, but it's for a different reason. We were called the heretics for so many years.
We're a little bit notorious.
I used to tell people that they ought to come join because we're not really rigid about.
Well, I wanted to say that we are still the go-to class. Whenever there's, and mostly it's funerals, whenever there's a reception and somebody, we know if we're going to be doing the reception. We've got it down. Virginia's got the punch down.
No,
that's right.
I'm the cookies, the tackets are the punch. We have it.
But we also we have also always supported very progressive issues. And anytime the church asks for something, we give. We don't do as much active stuff as we used to, but we give. And so that's one of the things that I've enjoyed so much is there's so much service and there's always something to do that's important. So.
But I look around and I see a bunch of us that still march in the gay pride parade.
Oh, absolutely.
We still do. We get out and do some things like that.
But we don't like to hold letters and paint houses in East Austin. When I joined, that's what we were doing.
That's right. And Kathleen remembered.
Well, we did the nursery. We painted the nursery with the letters.
The other thing I remember about this class is in 1970, they were just finishing up a couple of years, their first 2 years, using United Methodist curriculum. But they had used all the books in that series, and there really wasn't anything else that fit their needs that well. And they began having a program on this, a program on that, current events, civic issues, increasingly social justice issues. And when I came back from just full of excitement from a Bible seminar, I began to talk to them gently about, you know, doing some more religiously oriented Sunday school programs, and there began to be a saying that Kathleen makes us have a religious lesson once a year, whether we need it or not. But yes, they did do more of that. I came in occasionally, other people did. And then Tom Watkins, one of the elder statesmen of the class, I had sent to teach an older class from adult Bible studies. And so in a burst of inspiration, they began asking Tom to teach once a month the Bible lesson, using the term loosely, that he had taught for the friendship class. And I was very pleased with that. And they're always very kind to me when I come with a Bible lesson.
And Nancy did that too for you.
Yes.
Yes.
Nancy had
right.
one Sunday. I'd read that stuff and I hated that series. I just hated it. And I would teach from that, and those wonderful people in the friendship class would come up and say, "Boy, I read that scripture last night and didn't get any of that in there." And I'm thinking, because it wasn't in there.
Oh. I've never known if it was true that I was told when I joined this class that someone came to the door carrying a Bible saying they were looking for a Sunday school class, and I was told it was Nancy said. She noticed the Bible. She said, "Well, I'm sure it's not this one."
Move along.
I will comment about the class has always been interested in learning. And that, to me, is one of the big, big things. We've had a lot of teachers as class members. But whatever the issue, everybody has wanted to learn something and study something. And the other, in terms of the biggest impact I think our church is having, I think what we're doing in LGBT issues currently is perhaps the biggest in the 50-plus years that I've been here. And the number of people we have attracted because of it, and the reputation we've garnered in the community for truly walking the walk, being accepting and open and loving, is serious and is wonderful.
I'll talk for the one who started when he was one. Malcolm and I, when we got married, we started going to Grace after Trey was born, because his cousins were there, and he didn't cry in the nursery because we left him. So we said, "Okay, we'll stay here." And then Kathleen called, and they were doing a day camp. And they thought because we were so much smaller, it would be fun, and other reasons, but it would be fun for Grace to join. And so we did. And the first thing we did there was a friend of mine and I did arts and crafts for all the kids, and I started meeting all this class. And as Grace was getting smaller and Malcolm was talking about, I grew up at first, we came back. And when we walked into this class, because that's the only people I really knew, and he remembered, Nancy Lewis stood up and said, "Well, all I can say to the two visiting is welcome home." And it's been that way ever since.
So here's another question. I hear a lot of talk about intergenerational connection. Those of you who have like been here a long time, you still talk to the young people. Do you think that's a significant reason why we sort of have retention in the church? Or what would you like to see happen to sort of make that part of our community stronger?
I think it's a critical part of our history, at least. I remember being on the roofs with many of you and the youth in Appalachia. We went five times. It's a wonderful intergenerational thing. I remember summer musicals where our son was in the Sound of Music, and we did anything we can do that connects us with the next generation. And we have some fabulous young people in this church, absolutely fabulous young people, and we need to interact with them more intentionally. We need to figure out ways to do that. It's critical to cohesion of the community of faith as a whole, and it's a wonderful activity to do.
And
show it shows our interest in being there and doing all these things.
So this is lighthearted, but I have started a new organization. It's called the Society of the Ties. And we're up to three people now that are wearing ties. And when we see these young people that are in the third and fourth, fifth grade, they look at you really oddly. And I say, well, you see, I'm an oral history lesson. And they say, well, how's that? I said, this is how people dressed when I was in the fourth grade. And so I'm getting a lot of connection with fourth and fifth graders.
Good for you.
Check to see if they were...
We had a person who was not a member of this class named Bert Jones, who is near and dear to almost everybody in this room. He had the ability to make young people think he was their best friend, even though he was much, much older, better than any human being I've ever been around. And it would take four or five of us to convince as many young people that were interested in him as Bert could do all by himself. And so with that kind of example, we've all started trying to speak to and be kind to and to try to make the young people feel like we think they're important. We can't do it as well as Bert did it, but he really did teach us all how to do it, and we try.
Bert went to Appalachia like 20, 25 years in a row.
Wow.
Also.
And now Gordon Wesley's picked up the...
Oh, yeah.
My daughter thinks this class is her best friend. And she does. She just thinks she can ask y'all for anything.
She can. I'm proud of her for being an usher.
Well, you can thank Taylor. Taylor was her Sunday school teacher in Houston, and Eric works nights, and they had joined an Episcopal church because he was raised Catholic. I said, well, you're not going anyway, and I love her, so I'm going back. That's why she's here, is for Taylor.
That's wonderful.
One of the things that I think this class embodies for me, Tom asked me a few months ago, when are you gonna retire? And I said, when I die. And I think this class embodies that for me.
All right, so last question, and we have 12 minutes on our recording, so think about your answer. Okay. What do you think is important work to continue in the future first? What would you like to see continue or change about the things that we do?
Do you mean as a class or as a church?
Both.
Well, I don't know if I can talk about this without crying, but as we age, as you did for me, is support when you're sick.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I think one of the most important things this church does, being called First Methodist Church, and most First Methodist churches in towns are fairly arrogant. We've got that part down. But also, we are a liberal congregation in the midst of a downtown city next to the state capitol, and I think that that's the thing we've got to keep going to say, that a First Methodist Church in downtown in the state capitol can have liberal ideas.
You can't be silent.
One reason I love this church, one of the main reasons, is because we say we believe that every human or every person is a beloved child of God on a journey to God with God. Mm-hmm. And I love that, and I think this class practices that too. When I first started to join this class, I said something to somebody, and she, oh, they're so political. and so here I am, and I thought, okay, well, I like the mystical path, and my faith is kind of like the DNA double strand. I mean, there's the Methodist, the loving community, supportiveness, social action, all that. I love all that. But I also love my mystical path. So I thought, well, I can come to Downtowners and just shut up. You know, it's and I don't always.
I don't think you can come to Downtowners and shut up.
In terms of what to continue, we haven't mentioned the church's emphasis on services to the homeless. And that is one of our hallmarks, one of the things I think we ought to be proudest of. So between continuing service to the homeless and things like mobile loaves and fishes, and then our openness to the gay community, those are emphases I hope we carry long into the future.
Yes, as an extension of that very thing, which I think is basic to our faith, I think the ESL support that this class provides is awesome, and I think that's a wonderful star for this class, because I don't think anybody can outdo or outgive or outlove the ESL class the way this class does.
I think the previous three speakers said it well. I would just add, from the standpoint of looking at the greater church and society, and often there has been a division between those who stood for social action and those who said, oh no, we're spiritual. And what I have seen in this class and in this church is that we are both, and that the spiritual aspects of Bible study, of serious learning about the faith, of commitment to prayer, all of those then, I think, undergird and infuse the social justice ministries that we're involved in. And it's just making such a difference, I think, in the life of the congregation.
I wanted to say I couldn't be more proud of a church that is willing to commit a minister, an associate pastor, just for social justice. I think that says a lot about us and about this community of faith.
And she does a hell of a job.
She does.
I think a challenge for the downtowners and people our age is, when we came in the 80s, we were in a transition between the great leadership that was here that has gone, and many of their names are not remembered, but they were towers of, and I think we're there. We're transitioning to the new generation of leaders, and I am proud. I think they're doers, not just believers. They're doers, and we need to support and uplift those people to keep First Church as a some kind of beacon of hope and justice in the center of Austin, and that's a challenge for us to pass along our responsibility to them.
My father, many years ago, as he aged, lost his hearing, but he kept going to church. And my children one time said, "But Papa, why do you go? You can't hear." And he said, "I believe it's the ministry of presence. My being here is a ministry, and me being here, they minister to me." So I think as we age, sometimes it's just we need to be present. We need to show up.
This is out of order, but I don't think we've given enough attention to how many good things this class has donated to. I would love to see just a list sometime. I assume I could ask Tom to print out one. But we have so many causes that we have donated money that we collect each week for, plus anything that is needed for the class or needed for the church, they know to come ask. And we do always come through.
Well, let me say that Sally and I are the only divorced couple here in the class.
Each kept custody.
And I don't think that the relationship between she and I would be as tight and as good as it is if it wasn't for this class.
A little help when one of you dies.
Hey, that helped me.
You know, one of the things that our class has done
from the time we began as a class was we took care of our kids. We had parties for them. We took them out of town to visit places. We went down into East Austin and cleaned out parkways down there so that they could, the kids could play in the park. I mean, not our kids, but the kids in East Austin. And we had a lot to do with, we even had a Tuesday daycare center so that the wives could come in on Tuesday and take care of the kids. I mean, let them, somebody take care of the kids so they could have a free day. And that went well. And I think that if we could push that to the kids, I say kids, the younger generation that's coming in now with all of the little children, if we could start that in the church, in their class, I think it would make a big difference.
Well, I was on the children's ministry team for 2 years, and I can tell you the church is in good hands. Mm-hmm. Those people are wonderful.
Yes.
They are.
I was just downstairs talking to them. They're making manna bags today. And that class is all boys. I have never seen a Sunday school class, third and fourth graders, all boys.
Yes.
And they are so involved. They're doing practical things. We went for the Jewish thing when they were studying Hanukkah and all. But they are so involved, and I just love it. Mm-hmm. To see them getting, they were mashing up all the boxes, that they were sending out all the stuff, and it comes in boxes, and they were jumping up and down and mashing those boxes, and they knew exactly what to do, and they were putting them in, and they all know what to do. I mean, it is just amazing. They're really great, and that's what I think. That's why I think we're in good hands. We're in good hands.
All right, so now we have to dismiss for church, and I want to thank everybody for contributing. You can continue to think of stories and submit them online, or talk to Caroline and I about coming and being interviewed independently. We'd be happy to come and talk to you. If there's a story that you know that needs to be told, we will make sure it gets told. Thank you so much for participating, and we will come and talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.